All right. Recording.
This conference
now
is being recorded.
Who passed away on them?
A horse. Wasn't it a horse?
No, the lady that passed away was Reverend Judy Hosner that had the 5 p.m. show earlier today. Just found
oh,
out.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was really quite sad. So
yeah.
Forgive us for bringing you on just a little bit late.
Don, did you hear about Kimberly? Did you hear my calls with Kimberly?
No, this is Doug.
Oh, this is Doug. Did you hear my calls with Kimberly?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think anyone needs to pass anymore with Kimberly. She is like a miracle healer, okay? Literally. She puts her hands on people. In an hour, their tumors disappear. She does it publicly. People watch her, okay? She worked on Terry, and Terry had a miracle.
I know this was an overweight problem, I believe.
Overweight, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if she could have done anything with that. But all right. We're going to play an old Don and Wynn show tonight, okay? So,
all right.
Here we go. Hey, I wanted to tell everyone that's listening. And did I give the date yet? July 31st, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this, I wanted to alert you, on Sunday, we are doing something that I think will be amazing, okay? We're doing a three-hour workshop with Kimberly, and I sent a link out to it just now, before the call, and it's going to... A lot of people are going to be putting this out, okay? Kimberly has a very dedicated following, and we're integrating everything. It's not going to be like she makes me be more professional, which is good, okay? Because she has she treats her... She makes sure she looks professional to her list. And she should, for what she's doing. And so, Terry is going to, and this is going to be introducing.
Welcome you to the Don and Wynn Show. Another.
Wait a second.
Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn.
Meet the line, Wynn.
Yeah, just a second. I'm just getting this set up here. Okay, now I've frozen my recorder here.
And
there we go.
Because then you have to completely log on, reopen your free console. I've had a mobile in the past.
Have you had that happen?
Yes, multiple times.
I'd like to welcome you to the Don and Wynn Show, another episode of the Don and Wynn Show.
Animals loved him so much that they followed him around all the time, and the birds were always landing on his shoulder.
Hang on.
It was a baby. And...
Okay, we've got to get this started really quickly. But I just wanted to just...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I put a webpage up for this workshop, and it's on the email that I sent out today. So take a look at it. There's a charge, but if anyone can't afford it, contact me, and we'll make a deal. Okay, so send me an email. All right. Good. And here we go. This is Carla in 2005, an epic show, okay, really. It was epic because it was the first time, very first time, I ever did anything with Carla.
Cycles of our sun, which is supposedly also going through huge changes.
Huge, yeah.
In ways that you know, scientists at NASA can't explain. And also, if people are interested in this, if they are to go to David...
Ascension2000.com.
...website,
yeah.
Ascension2000, or maybe his new one, he explains a lot about some of the geocosmic changes going on in our... In
Guess what? I blew it.
I heard Don count down.
You got the wrong line.
I guess that means we're on. I'd like to welcome you to another Saturday night on the...
sign. It might be, say your totem is a hawk or an otter or some being in nature that you run across in your, you know, Subaru on the way to the market, and you go, oh, I wonder why I saw a hawk today. What was I thinking, you know? And then you start going into that, and you're getting guidance all the time. It's not necessarily has to come from the channel.
I love the way you put that. I mean, I can't... thank you enough for that, because that's something that people should remember, that channeling really, really is when you give your power to it. You're giving up your own power and your own choice. And, you know, so much out there right now is coming from these negative sources, or at least sources that are maybe mostly positive, but yet have that.
That's right. If people don't tune, and if they don't challenge, and if they themselves are not at a point in their lives where they know themselves very well.
Right.
Their tuning during a contact can vary widely.
Right.
Consequently, even if you trust somebody's channeling or say, you know, that and that and that was so good, that don't give in to the desire to trust everything that
right.
channel. Even me, and I try to be really, really responsible and do 110% of a genuine job at clearing myself out, making myself transparent, and then just letting the source come through just without any distortion that I can help. Still, I might have a bad day, you know, so please, you know, just take care to guard your own discrimination and your own temple, because that's really what's going on. You're creating your own sacred space.
Well, you were going to talk about earlier about, I think,
You're hogging all the questions.
But he hasn't gotten one out yet. Let him have the second half of this one.
All right, go ahead.
No, you were just initially when you were talking, when we started the Don and Wynn show, you were saying you were going to elaborate more on, I believe it was, the Galactic Federation.
The Confederation,
okay.
That's why I was getting into the densities, because we have Confederation entities which have come from the three densities immediately after our own. We have channeling from the density, which is a location which is totally oriented into refining the lessons of love that we have chosen in third density. That's fourth density. So we have fourth density contacts like Hatan. But remember that my Hatan is coming through my distortion. Somebody else's Hatan is coming through an unknown amount of distortion. And they may not seem at all like the same. And they may not be the same. Because there's nobody more clever at sounding like positive channels than negatively oriented sources that would like to take over positive channels. And there's a lot of this that goes on in the world of channeling, where somebody starts out very positive and then becomes mixed in their vibration because of the way that they're reacting to the questions asked them, or just because the questions are so relentlessly
right.
fear-based. But there's fourth density channeling, which is love-based. There's fifth density channeling, which is very wisdom-based. Then there's sixth density channeling, like that of the Ra group, which is unity-based, let us say, balance between love and wisdom. And this doesn't get into some of the other dynamics that make channeling interesting, like the dynamic between power and peacefulness. But basically, those are the three densities that make up the Confederation. Some have called it the Galactic Federation. Some have called it the Confederation of Planets in the service of the Infinite Creator. There are also groups, or at least one group that I know of, which has been popularly called the Orion Confederation. Not necessarily suggesting that all the stars in Orion are filled with negatively oriented people, but you know how that goes. One bad apple, and the whole barrel gets a bad name.
Right.
Anyway, it's a pretty big barrel. But there are negatively oriented confederations that are just as interested in the propaganda machine and creating a certain climate on planet Earth where people's choices are indeed taken away from them, and they live in a constant state of fear, and their only hope is to belong to the right group and to do all the right things and basically to become completely swallowed up in following the dogma of whatever channeling source that you've got a hold of. I certainly don't want to mention any groups or names.
Right.
But as you explore channeled information, you will find some of the negatively oriented channeling. And just look for how it makes you feel. If you start contracting, if you start having fear, if you start thinking, well, maybe I should make some response to this, like finding a safe place in case things fall apart, realize that you have stumbled into a source that has a lot of fear-based orientation and is probably service-to-self-oriented. Do you want to follow that? Fine, it's your choice. You can graduate service-to-self as well as service-to-others. But it's the choice that you do have to make. Do you feel like becoming more and more light, more and more radiant, more and more involved in loving, and feeling compassion, genuine compassion for other people, and responding to that and being engaged in it? Or, alternately, would you like to collect power to yourself? Would you like other people to serve you? Do you think that you know the best way for everybody and basically should be given the job of telling people what to do? If so, either join the army or realize that you're service-to-self-oriented.
Right.
It's pretty simple. This is, you know, this is the density of choice, and that's the choice. Do you want to serve the Creator by serving others and loving them and really making the focus of your life being to go beyond yourself? Or do you want the world to come to you? Do you want to magnetize things to your way of thinking? If so, then you're involved in service to self. It's a choice. But you have to make the choice, and then you have to run with it. That's the whole idea behind getting ready for graduation.
You know, one of the things that amazed me when I first started reading the raw material was the fact that, there's a predisposition in one's mind, in my mind, probably a lot of people say, I want to be one of the good guys, so I want to be service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And service to self are the bad guys. But in fact, the raw material, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, the raw material said, as far as the Creator is concerned, there's no value from one to the other, that one can evolve either path up through the densities.
And they did say that the Creator had a bias toward service to others and had made that path somewhat easier.
Right.
In that as you start polarizing service to others, you start becoming aware of all the help that's around you and that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
This in itself is a tremendously helpful thing. Whereas the path of service to self, you get lonelier and lonelier because you, after all, know everything and you must figure out how to get everybody else to do what you want them to do. So it's powerful, but it's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that service to others' work will never be. But you can graduate along the path of service to self just as easily as you can graduate along the path of service to others once you've made that choice. The difference between the positive path and the negative path is that if you stay on the positive path, you do have the advantage of a certain amount of the Creator's bias liking it better. And also, you don't have to switch paths in early sixth density, according to Confederation information, the negatively oriented path, the service to self path, peters out early in sixth density because once you become aware not just of love, not just of wisdom, because you can have pure love for yourself and pure wisdom. You cannot blend wisdom and love without becoming aware that other people are you and you are other people and that all of you together are one unified system, one final energy system, one final bubble of being that is creating a field that is actually the creation. So you become aware at that point as a negative entity, oh, darn, I'm going to have to switch polarities or I can't go any further. I cannot go any further. Well, fortunately, by this time, the negative entity is extremely powerful. And when the entity decides that he really wants to move ahead, all he has to do is do that classic convert thing, that 11th hour decision making that caused the thief on the cross next to Jesus to say, when you come into your glory, will you remember me? And Jesus said, hey, before the day is over, I'm going to see you in paradise. You know, it's that everybody in kind of mentality. And you can't get that without releasing the negative polarity. So I personally would never choose negative polarity because looked at from a cosmological viewpoint or from the widest viewpoint that I know of, it's a short-term affair. So mm-hmm. why go through all the agony?
So really with all these negative entities that are out there that are affecting us, really those are in essence lower level entities.
Well, lower level than lower level than mid sixth density. Yes,
right.
They certainly
right.
have their part to play, and I would never encourage someone to make a choice that they wouldn't necessarily want to make.
Right.
If they're drawn to that picnic, I say go to it and never mind the ants. But I certainly wouldn't explore negatively oriented material like Satanism or any of its fellows. Simply to become more and more familiar with the details of how the opposition works. What you really have to do is focus on how you want to live and how you want to be. People have talked to me a lot, especially critics, about how naive I am. But actually, I've dealt with quite a bit of energy from negatively oriented sources, beginning with my own shadow side, which I've had to come face to face to again and again in staying honest with my own work. And also the phenomenon called psychic greeting or psychic attack, where an entity of higher density of a negatively oriented path decides that they really would like to put out your light because you're a little bit too effective in waking people up and making them scratch their heads and go, gee, maybe it's the day I'd like to wake up. So I really think that it's pretty simple. It's not so necessary to know your enemy and to get into all of the various do's and don'ts and hows and whys of negatively polarized information. It's out there. If you're drawn to it and attracted to it, knock yourself out, you know. But at the end of it, and I read through tons of negatively oriented information back in the 70s when I was trying to get a hold of just exactly what this phenomenon of channeling was about, I just became aware that it was all such a con game that really I was going to treat it with a certain amount of humor. The Emerald Tablets, to me, is probably the best conspiracy negative information out there. If you're looking for something to have a good time with and see a little bit more about how negative polarization works, check it out, you know.
That's the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, right?
Well, the Emerald Tablets have a lot of, they've gone through a lot of different changes since I first ran across them in the 70s. If you can find the original story having to do with people finding information inside rocks out west, sort of like Stargate, you know, it was all inside of a mountain, and they got into this mountain and they found all this information. And then they just start reading off of the tablets, you know, and that's why it's called the Emerald Tablets, because they've got so many tablets of information and they're just passing this information on to you. It's wonderfully done and it's very stylish stuff, and a lot of the conspiracy and negative information out there is not very stylish. So if you're going to look...
I like the way you approach this.
Yeah, if you're going to look at the stuff, why not start with something that has some redeeming values just from the standpoint of the reader, you know, enjoying his trek through this particular kind of information.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, and that is, The fourth density is the density of compassion in the heart. Did we say that?
We did.
We did. Now, how could a negatively oriented service to self being exist in the fourth density?
Well, they love themselves with all their heart.
I see. So they can love themselves. I got you. Okay. So they love themselves.
They all love right. themselves, and what's not to love? I mean, we are the creator. We're all, you know, we're all parts of the creative principle. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say that in a way that doesn't get into megalomania, except to say that we're very young gods
mm-hmm.
with a lot of distortion in our characters and a lot of false, you know, leads that we're following up, and we'll find them to be red herrings. That's not a puzzle piece. Put it down. Move on. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just pick up so much information and have to put down so many puzzle pieces on their way to this one piece, and you go, now, wait a minute. This piece resonates. I think I know where this goes. Because you're making your own subjective little truth puzzle here. And how you make up the way you understand the universe is strictly going to be your own creation. And you really do have to be creative.
You are so balanced. I mean, I just get that feeling that you've balanced yourself. And, you know, it comes across in how you speak and what you say, because you have the awareness of both sides, and you've balanced that within you. And, you know, I have no doubt you know exactly who you are. And, I mean, it's just a pleasure to be speaking with you, because I love the way you're wording things, because it's really all a journey. And you allude to that it's the journey, and then we can do as we choose to, and we're little gods in motion, basically. And whatever floats your boat, do it.
That's right. But realize that what you judge remains judged in
right.
this world, and what you forgive remains forgiven.
Exactly.
So to those to whom power is given comes a new quest, and that is for the right use of that power.
Responsibility, correct.
Interesting question. You know, I know you talk a lot to people and counsel people. Do you ever find that you're in the middle of a counseling or talking, and suddenly it's not, you know, they're blending with you and they start adding to the information, and it's kind of like the division between you and them becomes almost, the person doesn't even know that's happening.
Well, I don't know that's happening, but I'm told at the end of a lot of counseling sessions that it has happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a totally unconscious situation. I am one of those weird psychics that has no idea. I don't
right.
have a clue. Whether it's channeling or whether it's counseling, that remains true. I really
mm-hmm.
don't know when I've hit something that's
mm-hmm.
really deep. The person might not have even asked it. But
mm-hmm.
it'll come out. It'll come out in some phrasing that, and they can't even explain why it resonates. But it pulls back from them things that have happened in their past. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have found that to be true a lot.
I would think so. And do you have the experience that we have this veil on this level, so we can't perceive things directly. But do you have this feeling that they're with you? Like they're paying attention to you, like, you know, you're eating breakfast and you have a presence with you, like in your energy field?
I have a constant sense of presence. I really do. But
yeah.
then I invoke it and invite it deliberately.
Right.
Every morning when I wake up, before I even get vertical,
mm-hmm.
I pray to Holly and I say, Holly, help. Because I don't know what the day is going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
But
amazing.
I do know that this is the now. This mm-hmm. is my chance. This, you know, the rest of everything fades away. This day is the central point in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to miss information. I don't want to be, and I'm going to make a lot of mistakes today. So I just
mm-hmm.
I know to ask for help, and I ask for it, and I don't know why I'm going to need the help. I just know that the day is going to bring things that I really do need that basic tuning. So I try to start on it before I even get up.
Now, actually, an average person, if there is such a thing, which there isn't, but a person that, say, doesn't channel could still get this sense of this presence with them, couldn't they? That
Absolutely.
They're guides.
Yeah.
In fact, that's probably easier than channeling, isn't it?
It really is. Actually, I think the quickest way to become aware of just how incredible a resource you are as a person is to look at yourself in the mirror. And I'm not talking about looking at your face and going, look at that zit. I'm talking about looking into the mirror, looking into your eyes, looking not at your eyes, but looking into the black part that the light is coming through, that aperture, which then, you know, takes the information, turns it upside down, and shoots it off to the brain in little pixels. I'm talking about getting into the part where you're entering into the body system. Look into that mirror, looking into your eyes, and do it for no more than 5 minutes, because it's very powerful. And see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will begin to see, I mean, all sorts of different things happen to people depending on where they are.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to say anything about what happens next. I'm just going to say that in most cases, you stop becoming aware of yourself as a personality shell and begin becoming aware of yourself as a real entity that can't be fooled and can't fool anybody and has no need to. You see the real entity emerging, living, breathing, that entity that you cannot really get hold of, no matter how hard you think. Just by being there and looking at yourself being there, it cuts through a lot of detail and gets you into a situation where you can take a leap of faith a lot faster after you've actually become aware of that person in the mirror that's looking back at you.
Wow, Carla, wow. You know, that's amazing that you say that because... It gives me goosebumps when you said that.
Now, Don, when she said it to me, I said, if I look in the mirror, I'm going to think I need a nose job.
But when it gives you character. Just like my lack of a chin gives me character.
You must be, obviously you're psychic and you're able to channel, but, and please don't be modest on this question. Just how psychic are you? I mean, by that I mean, can you see future events? Can you tell what people are thinking?
No.
Can you remote view?
No.
Okay.
None of that stuff.
Gotcha.
I've avoided getting out of my body for decades.
Understood.
Because I'm just too sensitive for it. I'm not prepared to meet the entities I would meet if I were off gallivanting around.
Right.
So I don't make that choice for myself. I leave it to much sturdier individuals who are more geared towards enjoying that kind of work. I would have said to you years ago that I wasn't psychic at all. I remain completely unaware of it.
Right.
However, I think a lot of people are like this. They know what they know. And when something comes to me, I really don't question it. But usually, as I said before, when what psychics say when they've gotten something accurate is they've got a hit. When I get hits with my clients, I don't have a clue. I have absolutely no idea. I'm the last person to know. I'm just naive and gullible and being very sincere and usually a little bit too earnest and not at all aware of my psychic tendencies. No, I don't think I ever will be in this life. It didn't seem to have been necessary for me to know. It was just necessary for me to be open to believing in my hunches and believing in myself. And I really have done that for a long time. And I think the more you do that, the more you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a habit.
Well, have you ever heard, like, if you've been sitting there, obviously, when you channel, you're tuning into a band, a frequency, and you're picking up these various channelings or sources and their information. But do you ever, when you're walking down the road, sitting in a car, or sitting at a computer, and a voice just hits you right in the head, and you may be even busy with something, your mind's all, I mean, let's
no,
not...
No, I'm not psychic like that at all.
Okay.
I spend about a half an hour tuning for a session. Even before I came on the show with you guys,
right?
I spent the same half hour working to my own best subjective tuning, asking for all the guidance that I could get, focusing my body energies, my mental energies, so forth, just so that I could do the best job that I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And be as transparent to spirit as I possibly can.
Right.
Those are my goals.
You know, Don?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carla.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I was just saying that and creating a really happy and loving conversation with you guys. Because that's really important. I think when people are listening to one of these things, just the pleasure of listening to a conversation where nobody's trying to score on anybody or be right.
Don's mother always gets on my case when I talk too much.
But she loves you.
Well, now she can get on my case. I've really talked way too much here. I apologize for that.
You know, quite frankly, I could go on talking for hours, and so could Don. But I think it's a good idea. We're kind of at a high point, and I want you back again soon. Because we didn't barely scratch the surface.
Oh, just barely.
Of the raw material, what's happening, what's going on in the world, all that stuff. And so, is that okay with you? Does this seem like a good point?
Terrific to me.
Yeah.
I think that's great. You know, you can just take in so much information that you've got to breathe,
right,
and breathe.
Right. I do want to make a couple comments. And that is, I would like to suggest to Don that we put a little section of some of your channelings up on Blogin service.
Absolutely.
Some of the quote channelings.
Absolutely.
And you can pick the ones that you think are best. And if you want, you can do one specially for Blogin checkers in, you know. And
I could do one of those over the phone because what I need for that is a group of three people.
But we could do it like this, you know.
I see no reason why we couldn't do it like this.
Should we do it live? Could we do a live show with Quo talking?
As the only part of it that you'd really have to do beforehand is you'd really have to think about your question.
Okay.
The answer is implicit in the question. They say
mm-hmm.
this over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you phrase the question, the depth of your passion about the question,
mm-hmm.
just how focused you are in asking the question, how clear
mm-hmm.
you are about what you're asking and at what level, all of these things really add into making for a great session. So I think
could we have listeners email us some questions?
Yeah, I think that's the best of all, is that you've got the people that are listening to the show that create part of the group, so it's not just those three,
yeah,
but that everybody's
yeah.
involved.
And then, well, we could. But the thing is, I don't want to open the phone lines up to questions because we want to monitor the questions. We want to make sure they're not.
You need to, and you also need to check with me beforehand because I've been dealing with these questions for decades now, so I really know what phrasing is going to get the best answer. For instance,
mm-hmm.
if someone writes in and says, I'm really concerned about 2012, and I want to know a safe place to go. They'll say, I'm sorry, but this is something that would infringe on your free will, and we won't talk about it. If somebody says, I'm so excited to be living in these times, and I wondered if you could share any comments that you would find helpful about the Mayan calendar in 2012. Well, that was a question that the E-Zine Planet Lightworker magazine
I sent that interview out to lots and lots of
did
people.
You? Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I'd really like to see that. Why don't you send it to me, too?
I'll send it to you, too. Right, okay.
Anyway, they talked for quite a while about that. And
mm-hmm.
because of the fact there was absolutely no fear involved
mm-hmm.
in the asking of the question, they were quite
mm-hmm.
chatty on the subject
mm-hmm.
of 2012.
Okay.
But it has a lot to do with how you ask the question. So
we'll screen the questions.
We'll talk about this more, but screening the questions is definitely part of it.
We'll invite listeners to email Don some questions, and then we'll compile them, and we'll pick the ones that we feel are most relevant, and we will talk to Quo on the air, right?
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
We can do that, okay?
You know, I have one more question, and this is kind of odd because I normally don't have any questions. You know, many people, of course, that are on BBS radio and they.
Is anyone there? Hello? Hello?
Doug? Doug?
Yes? We can't hear a thing on this end.
Yes, I just blew it. My battery on my computer went off.
It went blank.
And that shut the message. So I'm just going to start it up in just a second here. I just plugged in my power supply. I don't know. It's like playing Russian roulette with your computer battery. I said, okay, there's plenty of time. And it goes off. I thought, this is really an interesting interview, huh?
I think it's very cool.
You think it's what?
It's very cool, very interesting.
Yeah. And you notice what an idiot I was in those days.
No comment.
You did good, though.
Yeah.
You did good for being an idiot, huh?
When? What year was that interview again?
2005.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, it is. And I believe I have the exact date in case somebody's interested. Yes, it was December 3rd, 2005. So you probably, this is also
well,
on the...
on countdown. I guess that means we're on. I'd like to welcome you to another Saturday night on the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free. Don New...
Google, B-R-O-D-S-K-Y. You'll find her. Anyway, okay. It's a wonderful channel. And the information that I needed... I channeled in 1991 and 3.
Yeah,
so that anybody's involved.
And then, well, we could. But the thing is, I don't want to open the phone lines up to questions because we want to monitor the questions. We want to make sure they're not.
You need to, and you also need to check with me beforehand because I've been dealing with these questions for decades now. So I really know. Google, B-R-O-D-S-K-Y. You'll find her. Anyway,
okay.
It's a wonderful channel. And the information that I needed, I channeled in 1991 and forgotten all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's how quick guidance is and how little connected with time.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the question, the guidance is there.
Before we sign off, I want to just run down your different products. You... have a book out called The Channeler's Handbook, and that tells people how to channel or how
no, it tells people who are channeling and want to do it better how to make it better.
Okay. And then you have the Law of One series, which is 5 books of your original Ra channelings with Don Elkins, correct?
This is true.
And that's and then you do counseling for people, correct?
I do.
And
if you go on llresearch.org, there's a page called Carla's Page, and you can
mm-hmm.
see if that's for you by going there.
And then there's a load, there's probably, I would say, hundreds of pages of channelings on LL Research.
It's over 1,000 sessions now.
1,000 sessions?
Going back to 1974 when I started learning Howl.
And those of you that need input of higher sources to trigger your own wisdom, you have a free resource on LLResearch.org.
I like that.
LL Resource. That's even better, isn't it?
It is.
Listen to, maybe you should do get that URL.
Back Simba.
But there's a huge resource, and now my experience of channelings, reading channelings like yours, is that it triggers my inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like. It tells me things that I already know, but I don't have it at the front of my consciousness. And then I hear it, and I say, yes, that's so. And then once I hear it, it feels like I've expanded to another dimension, a little bit higher.
Well, I think you have. I think you're going up a spiral staircase.
Yeah.
And so you click onto something like that. Yes, you heard it before, but you were at a different level.
Right. And then my life changes slightly because I'm at things manifest in my life to match that jump I took inside myself. And so I validated it because it has some physical, you know, evidence in my life that's changed, and I watched it. And I remember about 20 years ago, I was so screwed up that I needed so much input of information, because as soon as I was on my own, I'd fall off. I'd go get screwy. I mean, my life would fall apart. I didn't know how to get out of my own hole. But when I would read information or go to spiritual seminars where there was light and there was wisdom, it would pull me out of my hole, at least momentarily, and then I drop back into it and I have to crawl out again. And so if you're one of those people that is feels like they're in a hole and they can't get out of it, you have a wonderful resource, to free, no money, to study Carla's channelings on LL Research. And it'll, you know, you have, there's probably a year's worth of reading.
Well, even if they're not in a hole, Wynn, because me, when I read Carla's channeling, it was profound, but it just sunk. I soaked it up so fast, it just sunk in, and it made just like perfect sense. It's like, this is correct, and I felt it. It felt a part of me. It just sunk in like eating peanut butter.
That sounds good. I would like to make the point that when you're looking at channeling, you're never looking at the channeling of one person, unless that person isn't channeling, but just sharing parts of their own unconscious process in a generous way. You're listening to the energy of the group that produced the channeling. The actual channel is a radio, a receiver and a transmitter, and to some extent a transducer of light that's coming through, information that's coming through. And we know that light is information, and information is light in terms of computers, because everything is brought in on the photons, on light itself. So whatever light or information that you're getting it from the tuning of the entire group. So it's always, to a certain extent, distorted. You're never going to get straight information in words. Straighter information in words is available to the person who goes into the silence and listens to the still small voice. Then you're getting concepts. And the job of a channel is to take those very three-dimensional, four-dimensional, however, very many-dimensional concepts, very living concepts, and trying to nail them down to words in a row. The difference is tremendous. So you're always getting some distortion in whatever you're getting, and you're never going to get in words the straight poop. The straight poop is really in the silence, and that is available to us all by stopping talking. A marvelous concept, and one that we can do.
I think that what happens is that when there's a channeling from truly a higher dimensional group source, when you read it, if you have the sensitivity, you start connecting with the energy of that group.
I think
As you're reading it.
It's not time-bound.
Yeah. And so suddenly the words themselves trigger, like a magical thing, this change of energy in you. And that's one of the reasons. Sometimes you have to read these things over and over again before you get that experience. And some people will get it right off the bat, and they will know this is, I mean, we didn't go into talking about wanderers, but there's many people listening who may be members of that same group soul that volunteered for a mission here on Earth. And when they hear the words, damn, it's like, wow, this is it, because it's like taking them home. Their energy goes back right to the energy that they started from.
We hear the most from people that log on to the site for some one reason or another and just surf around and go, man, I feel like I came home here.
Exactly.
Well, you know, in a way you have, because you've run into the other 65 million souls, or however many it was, that incarnated here from elsewhere because they really felt the plight of Earth, felt the sorrow of Earth.
Right.
Realized there were a lot of people that wanted to wake up, and they thought, maybe I can help here. Of course, most of us, you know, to have awakened from the planetary sleep ourselves.
Yeah, that's so exactly.
You know, that it's very important for wanderers to wake up before they can do their part to breathe in, breathe out with an open heart, and just start infecting the rest of the populace with this unconditional love deal.
Exactly. That's what I meant by eating peanut butter.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. And we're giving the biggest half of our peanut butter sandwich to somebody else.
So, Don, did I tell you about our contest?
Do we have a contest?
I have a contest.
Who's winning?
Who's winning? I don't know. I'll tell you what it is. I found a very sneaky thing to do. You know,
do we get to win free?
You get to win free. You know, I have my CD of music that I recorded that, you know, before I did any of all this wacko stuff, I thought I was a songwriter and a poet. In fact, sometime when Carla's on, we'll tell you the story of how I was having a broken heart and sending her all my broken heart poems. She remembers that, don't you?
I do, but I don't remember anything I said that's remotely close.
Well, you were compassionate. You were. Do you know
what? Compassionate heart thing. Yes, that's my strongest part.
I really needed the compassion then, and it helped. And by the way, you know, I have a website up called Conversations with My Girlfriend, with Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y, we call them.
Well, gosh, you and Jean-Claude Coven should get together because he has conversations with his dog.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, but I really did have two. I really do have two girlfriends, or did, or I don't even know.
In the cosmic now, you probably have more than two.
I hate to call them girlfriends because they're much more than that. But you know, actually, it makes it. I decided to call the website "Conversations with My Girlfriend" to make it so it wasn't threatening, like it wasn't this big deal. So everyone understands girlfriends, and of course. If you people who are listening haven't checked out the website.
I don't know. That's a broad claim.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone understands their girlfriend?
Did I say that?
It was you expressing your female energy, Wim.
We'll correct that next time, okay? So, but also, my music tape is now available. My music CD is available on CD Baby. And Don has four of my songs available from that CD, which is 11 songs available for free download on the Don and Wynn Show page. So here's the contest. The first 10 people who listen to the four songs and send in a review to Don get a free CD. How's that? The first 10 people. Yeah. In other words, again, I'll say it again so people understand. On the Don and Wynn Show page, isn't there four songs, Don?
There's four or five. Four or five, actually.
Four songs. I believe there's four songs. So to win the contest, as soon as the show's over, you've got to go and listen to my songs and send Don a review. And it's okay. We're going to post the reviews even if you don't like it. But send a review, and if you send a review, you know, send your address, and we will automatically send you a free CD. And that's for 10 people. How's that? That's the contest, the first 10 people. Get a free CD. Carla, you listened to my CD, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been a fan of yours for some time, Wynn.
That's right.
I remember sitting, listening to you sing for the first time in a motel in, was it Mesquite, Nevada?
Mesquite?
Was it Mesquite? It was someplace in Nevada at a casino somewhere.
Laughlin.
I love Laughlin.
Well, we had many lofts together.
We had many lofts together.
And Wynn sold more of our books in the few hours that he took our table over when we weren't sitting at our table selling books, then we sold the whole week that we were there.
And, is that right? Is that true?
But what I remember was the delight that I had in it was one particular song when it was Between the Words or...
Beat the Spaces.
Yeah.
Dig the space.
Love that song. Is that one of the ones that you've got up, Don?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, yeah, go listen to that, folks.
Wear My Smile. Now, if you're not one of the first 10, you're just going to have to buy the CD at CD Baby.
But
that's okay.
He's just as engaging in his singing as he is in his talking.
Yeah.
This is
a very tricky thing I'm doing, Carla. I'm making people listen to my music, and I'm giving, you know, they're going to write reviews, and I'm going to send them free CDs. So then we'll put the reviews up on the page, and...
And our emails are up on that page, and if you can't find it because we got so much stuff happening all over blogging service, just go to thedonandwinshow.com, and it'll take you there.
Mm-hmm. And just keep in mind also, send us some questions. Remember, you know, make them.
All right, I've heard enough. I can't stand it anymore.
That was 2005, and I had no idea where all this was going, and I was so honored to interview Carla, although I was never sure if she thought our channelings were positive or mixed polarity. And when we started doing our Sunday calls together, which was, I would say, a number of years later, I don't know, 2009, 2010, she became my co-host. And she was so beautiful because she was just there to support me. And of course, she was more famous than I was, and even more articulate in some ways. But she got the idea of what I was trying to do and kept showing up. And eventually, she actually said that she had trusted Terry's channelings, okay? But I never asked her because I was afraid of what she would say. So on that note,
all callers are unmuted.